4, DJC.
Eric, N0TR.
Good afternoon, Tom. Hope you're doing well today.
Well, nobody's asking me how I'm doing. KN4VWA.
Here's your tip of the day, Steve. That's because nobody cares. Is that not right, Jerry?
I'm not going to go so far to say that. That's a little bit of a stretch, Tom.
Jerry, you're my buddy from always. So how you guys doing?
Oh, Jerry, you should have jumped right in there while you had the opening. He asked for it. Oh, I'm sitting here wiring up a 10,000-volt transformer, and I just finished putting in a fused switch box in series with it, so you can turn it on and off. And it'd make a good bug zapper, dog repellent, but it might be a little overkill. Go ahead, Jerry.
You're doing good today. How was your last flying outing? I think last time I talked to Dave, he said you were already out there and in there, I think, when he got there. Did you have a good afternoon?
Oh, it was windy. I got two pretty good flights in, but man, I'm gonna tell you what, it was windy, and we watched a guy. Did Dave tell you that we watched a guy with about a 30-year-old P-51 Mustang that was just absolutely gorgeously built? I mean, he got it up in the air and he was flying, he was whipping it around, I mean, doing maneuvers, and all of a sudden he just lost control and went straight in. There was nothing left from the forward of the wings at all.
That's sad. A lot of work went down the... Sounded to me like the vibration to the thing that run the elevator come loose.
I do an autopsy on it and really did not get an idea of what went wrong, but it went in so hard that it broke the muffler off the side of the engine.
And that is, yeah, I guess that's the way it is. You know, you go crash them sometimes, but just that's a hard way to crash one. And he'd tell me about, I was, you or Dave told me about the mid-air collision that was out there. Might have been just several days ago now, I guess, where two just ran into each other. And one of them was just, you know, just went into, you know, a zillion pieces, and the other one had a little bit left of it, I think.
Looked like a ticker tape parade. Both of them just went to confetti.
He did tell me about that, but I hate that about that Mustang too. That's a you know, from what I understand, that's a hard plane to fly at, you know, full size, kind of like a P-40s, I guess. It's hard to fly with both of those. That Mustang's a good, it was a good fighter though. Hate to see a nice RC plane like that go up and, you know, go like that. That's, sometimes you just never know what happens. You know, those things have glitches in them sometimes. But would they use a modern radio system, or was it one of the older ones?
It went head on. They were using modern radios, but I'm not sure what the guy in the 51 was using. I think he had a FM 72 megahertz running on it.
I could crash them on 72 as well as I could on 27. These 2.4 gigahertz spectrum controllers, I think they do a lot better job from what I understand. That's kind of that's what everybody uses now, I guess. Go ahead, Tom.
And my brother and I built one that had the wires on it and the hand control when we were in the Philippines. But I had to go back to Vietnam in the meantime, and when I come back, there was no more airplane. And that thing had about a 30-inch or more wingspan. It was big, balsa, and I can't remember the engine size in it. I wasn't that much into it. trashed it and tore it to pieces before I got back, so I never did get to fly it. It made me sick. I don't remember which model it was. But at any rate, I would love to see an F4U Corsair, which I don't know if they do that in RCs or not, but they do most everything. But, I got stand by one of those up there at Oshkosh 1 year, or several years. And I believe that's my favorite fighter of all time.
You talking about that gold-winged Pappy Boynton bird?
You got it. It's a beautiful thing. Had a huge engine in it, Steve.
Yeah, I had a Curtis Wright. I'm trying to remember, but it had that big radial engine in it. It was tough. Now, there's several of those that fly up there, Tom. I tell you what, maybe we can set it up sometime where you can come on up and watch one of those go. Because one of them's kind of big. It's got like a 60-inch wingspan, I believe, 60 or 70-inch. It's a big one.
When it gets warmer, I'd love to come up here and just watch you and Dave fly. Bring a chair up and just sit back there and watch. It'd be interesting, but it's got to be warmer, Steve. Yeah, my uncle was killed in an A1 Sky Raider. I remember getting to sit in one of those at Richards Gabar Air Force Base in Grandview. I think it was up by Kansas City. And my uncle, Dwight Douglas, was flying it, and he picked me up off of the wing and set me down in that cockpit, and I just disappeared. I never seen so many instruments in my life, but I'll never forget it. And he did a torque roll. The engine's so big, I think they were 3350s, or 2800s, or 3350s, but anyways, the aircraft rolled around the engine. He made an approach, did a wave off, come back, and he gunned it right above the threshold, and the airplane wing turned around the motor, and he went end over end down the runway, and it killed him. But I visited his grave over there in Oswego, Kansas, not too many years ago, it seems like, but I guess it was a long time. Go ahead, Jerry.
The Raiders were, of course, in Vietnam. I remember seeing a lot of those. My wife's uncle was a commander of the Navy, and he was aboard Roosevelt, I think. They said where he was when he was in Vietnam. But his father, they both were academy graduates. His father was killed defending the Lexington, I think. He was killed in F4. And right around the battle, I think he was killed by the Battle of the Coral Sea. And he was the flight he was in. He had Bishop Hare, Richard, Thatch, and several famous flyers. They gave him the Distinguished Flying Cross too. But the guys who survived that flight were they all wound up being admirals or something like that, but they were all academy guys. But it's interesting that he used to, my wife's uncle said that Butcher Hare, when they went away, Butcher Hare would, he'd ride him around in the back of his jalopy.
I got Cat with you. I got to go in the phone store for a couple minutes, so y'all carry on. KN4BWA, I'm clear.
A little while. It's in Daryl TR.
M4WHM monitoring.
WHM recognized. Yeah, Jerry, I'm just sitting here. A friend of mine was a helicopter pilot. He flew them big double counter-rotating Army helicopters, Sikorskys, I guess. And seen a lot of those things lifting howitzers over there. Flying over in Vietnam, they'd have a howitzer strung down below it, or anything. And he asked me last night if I could fix him up something to... What they do is they hook a high voltage lead on either side of a piece of plywood, and like with alligator clips, And then you take a mixture of water and soda and dress it across that board, and then they flip the high voltage on. It burns a beautiful pattern out there in that board, which every one of them is different, of course. And then the carbonization you take off with a toothbrush, and I guess they finish them. So I was trying to rig him up something here. I don't know, this 10,000-volt transformer might be a little bit on the high side. He might burn his board up. But if not, I'll get a microwave transformer put in there. They're 4,000, I think. Anyways, go ahead, new station. This is Tom, M0TR with Jerry in 4. I'll let you give him his call. I can't think of it right now. Go ahead, sir.
W2T Mobile.
WHM, Bill, out of Hartwell, Georgia. I'm just listening in, enjoying the conversation, gentlemen. Just wanted to say hello, and I'll get back on the side. 73s.
Well, good afternoon, sir. Go ahead, Rusty.
I'm from Georgia. Got a good-sounding signal up this way. And good afternoon to you, Tom, and to Jerry also. I didn't know who you were talking to, Tom, but I figure it was one of the usual crowd, as they say. Anyway, I've got to go out and pick up a couple of items. Things I forgot to get yesterday when I was out. But, you know, hey, that's the way it was. And I couldn't sleep last night, so by the time I woke up this morning, it was too late to go get my brake pads put on the front of the car. So it was supposed to be done this morning, so they'll be done tomorrow morning. And I guess, you know, it's kind of just a yucky day over here, Tom. Go ahead.
Well, Bill, you can join in there. No, there's just the same old crew here. Well, Jerry come in and asked me how I was doing, and I said, fine. And Steve broke in and said, well, nobody asked how I was doing. And I said, that's because nobody wants to talk to you. And Jerry wouldn't go along with me, Rusty. Can you imagine that?
Now, you got to get with the program. When Steve's on the outs and things, you got to get with the program there, son. Go ahead, Jerry.
I don't know Steve well to do that. And Bill, I just realized who you were after Tip talk with you the other day. I'm originally from Heartland. I think your wife is related to, I think her oldest sister and we went to high school together. And Ellen and my mother worked together at CNS Bank.
Correct on Ellen working at CNS Bank. Yep, I married the baby girl, Jenna. And Gail is the oldest, and Angie is the middle sister.
Well, we see right now you married her for her money. She was a banker.
Tom was with her. He was in a wheelchair at that point in time. And she told us that, you know, about what was going on with her, too. And I get the digital hall since so I kind of keep up with him. And if you see her, talk to her, tell her we enjoy her columns every week. And I hate to hear, you know, how things are going for both of them right now. Gail and I were good friends, kids, I guess.
Well, Bill, did you marry her for her money, being she was a banker?
Yeah, but it didn't quite work out that way. And she went up and retired early on me, so she's retired and I'm still working.
They're kind of stingy, aren't they, these banks are. Go ahead, Rusty.
Well, Bill, what that is the reason she went and retired earlier, so she can keep you out of her hair a little bit when she's doing all those things around the house. She doesn't want you to know she's doing. So, anyway, well, I don't know what the weather's like down your way, but it's 46 and overcast up here, ugly looking. So, Tom, good to hear you're doing fine, and hope Jerry is too. And I'm feeling a whole lot better today than I have been for the last few days. I think I've finally gotten over whatever hit me after getting that shot the other day. Oh, my sister went and got hers yesterday afternoon, Tom. Said, not a problem. She's got a little, you know, a little spot where a little hot
hot spot where they shot, but she said she got the same thing when she got the ultra-high flu shot vaccine last year. So, you know, it's one of those things of it comes and goes, you know.
Well, we get ours in 2 more hours, our second one, Rusty. And by the way, I asked my son-in-law last night if his mom and dad had got them, because they had the COVID, and they said they had to wait 90 days, and that's longer than you were told, I think. So maybe that's why you had some reaction from it. Go ahead, Jerry. This is N0TR.
Second one, 13th and 14th of this month. So we got, you know, 10 days or so. Not quite 2 weeks yet, but be glad to get down. We got some Moderna, and we didn't have any rash at all. Just arms being a little sore, but that was it. But I think it everybody's a little different with it, and that's the way it is. So, Bill, I didn't know that Jana had retired. I know she was with Arts Council. Is that correct, or am I not thinking right?
She worked at the university. I worked at the University of Georgia, and she did too. She was with the Georgia Museum of Art, and she retired out there. So she's I got lucky and got me a lady that was a few years older than me. So now that we're getting closer, she was able to retire and make me work to keep up her buying habits.
Between there, but guys, go ahead. I'm going to energize this 10,000 volt transformer here, and I want to pay attention while I can. I'll pass for a few rounds. This is N0TR.
Well, you energizes the diode, not you. I don't think you could take it, and unless Bernice is looking to cash in on your insurance policy or something, then, you know, hey, whatever. But, you know, you just be careful there, messing around with that. And, just headed out. I got to grab a quick bite of lunch up here at one place before I go on to the other. And I'm due to get my second shot on it'll be the 25th, 30 days from when I did the last one. And I got the Moderna also. And, it's, you know, like I said, different people react different ways. We got a bunch of folks in our church. One couple went and got there, and they got the Moderna, and he had a reaction to that, and she didn't. Another couple in our church went and got the Pfizer, and she had a reaction, and he did on their first shots. And then on their second shots, for the ones who got the Pfizer, neither one of them had a reaction. And the other is not going to get their Moderna second shot till tomorrow, till Thursday. Yeah, till Thursday. They'll go get their second shot on Thursday, so we'll find out how they're going to react. But, you know, like you said, Jerry, it's a little bit of everybody and everything else going on there. Go ahead, Jerry, I'll let you pass it over to Bill.
I probably told y'all this a few weeks ago when we were talking about getting the vaccine, but now my wife, I think it might have been my second shingle shot, or maybe been my first pneumonia shot. One of them was really painful. Didn't make me ill or anything, but just really painful. And my wife was the same way with her second pneumonia shot. It was just hurt her, and it bothered her arm. Felt like somebody punched her in the arm for 3 or 4 days. But now this one, I didn't know I'd got I didn't even feel the needle this time, and it was no other than just soreness right there at the spot. There wasn't any muscle soreness or anything like that, and I don't know. I could say I feel lethargic from it, but I feel lethargic all the time since I've been retired. And Bill, I heard you talk a little early. You said you got your new rig. What you got there?
The PYT, TH9800. Just got it in the mail yesterday, and got it sitting on my desk, cooked up, and just playing with it. So hopefully it's doing a decent job.
Look in here and say 7-3s for now. I'm about to reach the place where I'm going to grab a bite of lunch. I'll catch up with all of you later, and Y'all have a good afternoon. Nice. I think I heard you on the air the other day, Jerry. Bill, I didn't talk to you because I think you were just getting out, and I was too. Anyway, y'all have a good afternoon. We'll catch you later. Jerry to pick it up, W2T, and I'm clear.
Jerry, Rusty, see you later. Everything went fine here, and all I got to do is get some spark plug wires now. Copper ones. You guys take care. I'll let you talk to your friend, Bill. Bill, pleasure's all mine. Nice to meet you this afternoon. Don't be a stranger. This is N0TR. Over to you, Jerry.
Good afternoon. Have a good lunch and time. You just watch what you're doing with that stuff. I know you know what you're doing, but don't touch your tongue on anything like that. And Bill, actually, I don't remember if Jenna came with Angie or not, but they came up with my wife's mother. We were living in Fort Mill to go to the spring store. It's been 25, 30 years ago, I guess. And I've seen Angie, but I haven't seen Jenna in years. And like I said, last time I saw Gail in person was about 2 years ago at over here at Olive Garden in Anderson. Said, I hope they are doing okay. But, both my wife's parents, my parents gone too. So, my wife's parents live next door to Hugh Kirby. And without saying who they are, you probably know them. But, we sold the house, at least the kids sold the house probably about 2 years ago now after my father-in-law passed away.
Exactly who and where are you talking about? Because we live in the house that Gail originally bought here on Lowell Drive, so I can throw a rock real hard and hit Hugh Kirby's house over in the behind me over the trees. And Gail actually lives, well, the next door neighbor was Jana's mom and daddy, and there was a spare lot and Gail built on it, and now there's a gentleman that Jana went to school with that lives in her parents' old house. But yeah, Gail is just right up the street, and then Angie is just up the road in a little subdivision. So we get together at least once or twice a month and have dinner, and in between then, when they need something, since they're both kind of by themselves, they call me and I go take care of whatever it is. So I'm happy to do it.
But man, they're still sticking together. They always were. And Ellen was just, she was just a finer person than I ever known, I guess. And she and my mother were real close. And Therian, Therian was Therian. That's just the way he was. he always had a lot of fun with me. And he and my dad were good friends, too, years and years ago. But, I could remember whether, last time we went by there, I spent a month or so ago. I still see, still go to the Harlow family parents in Harlow, but since Dr. Wyson's retired, I got a new doctor. So I don't know how much longer I'll be going there, but we go by there and ride by the neighborhood. I didn't know if exactly where Gail had moved or not, but when they built that house, that's a nice, very, very nice house. I mean, it's really nice. And I was just curious as to who was living in. They can answer my question. I mean, he's got a 2 meter and I think he's got an HF vertical pipe beside his house, or he did at one time. I didn't know if he had anything mounted close by the house or not.
No, I'll be honest with you. I was just over at his house about 2 weeks ago. The UPS driver got our packages mixed up, but I didn't even, it was dark, so I didn't see if he still had an antenna, but the, so I don't know. Like I said, it was dark, so I saw the carport and that was about it.
We went through there. Yeah, he walks. He's always walking there in that little cul-de-sac, and we saw him out, and his wife was out there too. And I talked to him for a little while. Of course, when we were moving the stuff out of the house, right before it was sold, we were talking with him, and I didn't realize he was a ham until they moved there back in. I guess Jimmy moved there. I think they moved there back in 2004 or 2005, I guess, from the lake. their lake house, and I didn't realize he was a ham, but he had a, seemed like he had maybe like a Hustler vertical antenna out there for HF, and I'm pretty sure he had maybe like a Ringo Ranger or something like that up higher on the next to the house. But he told me a funny story. He'd been licensed for a good number of years, and he let his license lapse. And when he had a W-4 call, and when he let it lapse, somebody else grabbed that W-4 call up, and he got his old novice call, which was a W, it's either a WN or maybe a W-8, but it might have been a W-N-4 call. He said, I let that thing lapse, so I couldn't get my old call back. Somebody snatched it out from under him.
That'll happen. I'm a couple of years from renewing mine, and I'm going to make sure I do it in time to keep mine, that's for sure. But I'll be honest, I didn't even know he was a ham, so I'll have to ride over there during daylight, see if he's still got an antenna. If he does, I'll send him a message, and I got his phone number. I'll text him and see if we can't get him on the air.
Fletcher had that repeater at the Dairy Queen. I don't remember Hugh being on then, but you know, that's been years and years ago, I guess, Bill. I don't ever remember hearing Hugh on it all, and I've listened to that horn repeater for a long time. But he travels so much, he stays gone. He's like a daggum gypsy. He stays gone so much, he goes down to highway goes to Myrtle or Hilton. I think he's out place on Hilton Head or somewhere down in there he goes to during a lot of, he'll travel for a month at a time. I don't know how often he's back in town lately, but because last time I talked to him, he just come back from Hilton Head or was just picking up some stuff and heading back down there. I think that was back probably last summer, I guess. Might have been the summer before we were still moving the stuff out of the house. I don't think I've heard him on, but he was telling me that story. And I just got mine renewed, and now they won't send you a paper copy of your license. You got to print it out, that sort of thing. But this new deal about the $35 to renew or change your license has got a lot of people up in arms. But in 10 years, it ain't a big deal for me.
Well, when that come out, I got on the website and read all about it, and I saw then that they didn't send paper certificates anymore. You had to print them and download them, and I mean, $35 for 10 years. I mean, yeah, $3.50 a year. It's still not a bad deal. I've got my GMRS license as well, and that's $70 for 10 years. So I guess everybody's got to make a little money somehow, but it would be nice if it was cheaper, but I don't mind paying what it is, so it's still not expensive. They did do away with letting you get a free ham tag in Georgia a few years back, so I hate that, but I wish they would go back to that.
I pay for mine in South Carolina. I've had this call since, had a KA call originally. I've had this call since sometime around May or June of 1979. So I've got, they used to give you a new tag every year in South Carolina. So I had a stack of tags from years and years gone by. And finally, I started folding them half and tearing them up and throwing away. I wish I'd kept them now, I guess. But now they give us a new tag. Just whenever the old one finally, it's past giving up the ghost before they give you a new one. But I have to pay, I don't know what it is, it may be a reduced rate. And they tried to get them back, they were free at one time as well, I think. But then they started charging them because they were changing the tags every year. But now it's like, I might get a new tag, new amateur tag, about every 4 or 5 years now.
Well, they do over here in Georgia. You get your tag. I think it's every 4 years they'll give you or sell you another one. But I hadn't got my call sign on my tag. I don't know why, but when I renew, I think I will on my little Forerunner. Everybody seems to know my call sign, especially over around Athens and Watkinsville, where I do a lot of camping and hanging out.
how is it over at the campus now? Are they open back up much now, or is it still? I guess it's a lot more open than it is. I think clubs. I think they may be going back to school here now in person. Some of it anyway. I was just curious how it was in Athens. We haven't been to a game in several years, but we used to go every home game.
Yeah, it's still a hybrid solution. Most students, I mean, the housing is still full. There's about 8,000 that live on campus, but we have a daily population before COVID that was about 55,000, and we're probably at about 30 right now. Most students are still doing a hybrid learning, and they come on campus maybe for an hour or two a week for their labs, but the hope is by fall that we'll be back to, close to 100%. They're estimating 80% back.
Kind of seems a little different than elementary kids like my grandkids. They're back in school 5 days a week now, so I think they're getting a little better experience than that. That distance learning thing is hard on elementary kids. I just don't think they learn as much. Their attention spans aren't very good anyway. But both of our grandkids are back in school in Greenville School District now. But I was curious about Georgia to see what they were doing. But that's good today. That sounds like a lot of people on campus still, though, compared to what some of the other places. Clemson, there was nobody at Clemson hardly for months. And my son-in-law's sister and brother, his brother has one of his kids. He lives in Virginia. One of his kids in Clemson. The other one starts this fall. And the his sister's son is at Clemson too. He's an engineer, and I think now he's maybe a sophomore year, but they love it over there. But he looked at Georgia, and they look at all these places because the daughter of his brother, the mathematics student, she was just like in the top 1 percentile, and a lot of people were trying to get her to go to school, and she decided she was going to go to Clemson. I think she just liked that atmosphere a little better. It's not quite a bigger campus, but and she looked at several places, but she's either a math major, or she may be doing something. I think she's going to do some type of fiduciary work or something. She told me what the major was, and it's something I'd never heard of before.
Campus. I worked over there from 2000 until 2000, from January 2000 until December of 2007, and I left there and went to the University of Georgia. Clemson is a great campus. I loved it. It's a little smaller. It's about half the size of Georgia. I think they're somewhere around 18,000 to 20,000 students, counting graduates, where Georgia's at about 38,000 students. But Clemson is a fine school. There's no doubt about it. Well, I've got to jump off here. I've got an appointment at 2 o'clock online here. I got to work on. But it's been great talking with you. And I'll for sure pass along the messages to the sisters, and I'm usually monitoring the Greenville station. This is probably the most I've talked on in a long time, but I'm trying to get more active. So, well, I appreciate everything. Appreciate the conversation. 73s, and this is N4WHM, and I'll be clear on your traffic.
Enjoy talking with you. Don't be a stranger. If you hear one of us, just hop on in. This repeater, we got a few guys get on in the morning and the evening, but other than that, it doesn't stay very busy. And we need to use them a little more than we do. But your radio is sounding great. The audio and modulation, just sounds really good. Listen, have a good afternoon. Hope your meeting goes well. And again, appreciate it. Say hello to everybody. N4DJ, Clear.